You're listening to Football Special, the definitive Donegal GAA podcast.
All right, folks, and welcome to the fourth episode of the Football Special podcast. We're averaging one a month, and that's better than the Donegal wins total this year. So who would have thunk that at the start of the year? Joined this evening by Alan Foley, Frank Craig and Damien Dowds. Chris McNulty is doing what he loves best and covering a foreign sport in Finn Park. We'll start off this evening with Bikegate and the result of the appeal by the Dublin player, who I'm not going to name because it's really not fair to him, was announced today, and the suspension proposed by the CCCC of three games was overturned, and the case was found to be not proven. Damien, for our listeners, can you maybe take us through very briefly the disciplinary process here, and you know, how this all came about and what's happened, and you know, what happens next, or where does this go next?
Yeah, I'd say it doesn't go anywhere now. The GAA says that the matter's closed, so that from the player's point of view is the end of it. I suppose on the day, the referees were informed both at half time and again after the game that there had been a biting incident involving Patrick McBurtie and another player. As I understand it, the referees were told the name of the player. The Dublin team doctor was shown the wound to Patrick McBurtie at half time. That would have been sent in. Then the referees' reports, both of them apparently, would have been sent in because we had a replacement referee in the second half. And the CCCC, which is the Croke Park Competitions Controls Committee, they took about 3 weeks to look into it. I presume they carried out an investigation, which they are empowered to do, and they proposed a three-game suspension. They deemed it to be a Category 3 offence. It isn't actually outlined in the official guide that there's an offence for biting, but they deemed it to be a Category 3 offence, for which the minimum is a two-match ban. They proposed a three-match ban. The player chose not to take it. He appealed that. The appeal was heard there last week, and the suspension was deemed to be, or the case was proven to be not proven, or was found to be not proven. So the player in question, the Dublin player, is exonerated, and the GAA, as far as they're concerned, that's the end of the matter there. They didn't have enough evidence to link that player to the bite, it would seem.
Rumours that Luis Suarez was seen in Balbuffet that day are not proven as well. But one thing that struck me, Dublin were the ones making kind of all the noise on this. Like, Andy Kettle was quite vocal, or certainly was giving interviews to papers and so on, and saying that, you know, he didn't believe there's a case answer here. Whereas Donegal remained fairly silent on all this, and I gather that Donegal could have or Patrick McBurtie could have spoken at the hearing perhaps, but he didn't for whatever reason. So you know, Donegal seemed to have made quite a big deal of this on the day itself, which, you know, fine, one of your players is bitten, why wouldn't you make a big deal of it? But subsequent to that, they seem to have pulled back a little bit. I mean, I would imagine this would have been an unwelcome distraction coming up to the championship anyway.
I'm sure it would. I mean, the problem I would have had with the whole process is the two lads. I mean, there's been an accusation and there's been a defence. Kevin O'Brien is a lad. I know we said we weren't going to mention him, but he's had this hanging over him for a couple of weeks. And Paddy, too, is only a young fella. And Croke Parks, I think, you know, their statement on the day is a lot of ambiguity around it. I mean, the evidence that we think and hope was there was photographic. I mean, did this whole process break down and linking that evidence with somebody's maybe teeth marks,
yeah,
for want of a better phrase? Or we said Dublin player's been exonerated, but I'd like maybe Paddy to have been maybe, you know, given a wee bit more clarity on his age too, because he's a young man of college too, that has family and friends, and it's probably been an unwelcome distraction for a 19-year-old who's in his first year of college, you know.
Sure, yeah. I mean, and like I say, you know, if he was bitten, then, you know, something should have been done about it. And, you know, I guess, you know, a photograph in of itself of just a bite with nobody actually doing the biting isn't gonna prove much.
But it justifies Paddy and Jim McGuinness and Donegal taking this case to Croke Park.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I suppose, you know, the grey area that was kind of involved in that statement that came from Croke Park today. I just would have seen a wee bit more clarity there, which would have maybe let Donegal just draw a line under this here whole process as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, look, we'll move on. It's done. I mean, the reality was, from a selfish point of view, whether Kevin O'Brien was suspended was neither here nor there for Donegal for the Ulster Championship. You know, all things being well, we might see him again in the All-Ireland Final, and we'll keep him at arm's length maybe in that game if we get that far. Okay, well, let's talk briefly about the game itself. The game that saw Donegal relegated to Division 2 next year. I think the first All-Ireland Champions in a long time, I think, to be playing football in Division 2 the year after winning the All-Ireland.
Dublin 95, I think, got 5 points.
Same as? Yeah. Okay, we're in good company then, I guess. A couple of things. I mean, you know, Jim McGuinness's reaction afterwards clearly was consistent with what he said all throughout the league, was that the focus is very much on 26th of May, focuses on the championship and so on. Not bothered about what division we play in. May in fact find it easier in Division 2 next year to do certain things and introduce certain players. What do you make of all that, Alan?
Yeah, I think he's been consistent in his convictions. The thing about Division 2, we really won't find out the impact of that until next year's championship probably. It won't make an awful lot of difference to now. I think that was a strange day, and maybe the way it unravelled with the referees getting changed and even the biting incident beforehand, it was nearly like a game of musical chairs, but when the music stopped, Donegal were the ones standing up.
Yeah, no, that's a very good analogy. I mean, I suppose let's try and take some positives from it. We didn't lose, which was good. We saw, if not 10,000, very close to it in McCool Park. I kind of was looking for that kind of number to show that we have support outside of the championship. It was great to see it. The fact the game was delayed is perhaps a bit of a worrying sign come, you know, what we're expecting on the 26th of May. But there was a kind of a championship type environment and feel to the game, which was good. It was good to get a look at Dublin, firsthand. They were, I think, quite impressive and have been, you know, all through the year. So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, maybe Dublin are peaking at the wrong time and Donegal are, in fact, the clever ones here. But, you know, Jim was definitely very upset afterwards. It struck me as someone more upset than, you know, it's almost seemed at variance with what he'd been saying all throughout and what he kind of ended up saying. I think in the immediate after that, he was certainly quite vexed. Was that just due to the referee, Frank, or do you think just the way the game played out on the field, irrespective of any incidents, was a worry for him?
I think the lines were blurred and so far how upset he was about Donegal being relegated, maybe the mistakes that Donegal made in the day when I think we could have won that game pulling up. And of course, the incident that did or did not happen with the biting incident. But I think, I mean, Jim's plan all along, he was hoping, whether he expressed that publicly or not, was maybe just to retain our Division 1 status and kind of go under the radar. We've been relegated. We have to deal with that there. But at the same time, as we speak, Donegal are preparing for an Ulster Senior Championship first round game, whereas Tyrone have a media day for a league final. I mean, whether Mickey Hart needs that for his, I mean, horses for courses, he has some young lads that he's integrated into his panel. They probably need this big game experience, and if they come through it with no injuries, it'll stand them well. Whereas Donegal are tried and tested. They'll have that 7-week running now to 26th of May is the date, which isn't grained in our heads at this stage. And I think, as Alan says, I would allude to that. I mean, regardless of how impacting it is, we'll probably not know till next year, but in terms of Donegal's championship preparations, chatting to the players, I'd be confident that, I mean, they haven't been damaged because of the relegation. I think that their focus remains on that there, end of May clash with Tyrone.
Mm. You mentioned there Donegal should have won the game pulling up. And that's one thing that's kind of striking to me as well, is that, you know, you would kind of like to think that the position Donegal are in is All-Ireland champions and, you know, the best team in the country last year, that we could find a gear to run in throughout the league that would see us safe. And we have to remember as well, every other team is playing with injuries and every other team is surely focused on the championship to a certain extent as well. Certainly in Division 1, where I'd say most of the teams can believe they can win the championship. In Division 2, I'd say it's probably less of an issue because, you know, let's be honest, the All-Ireland champion probably isn't going to come from Division 2 or lower. So, I mean, you know, do you think Donegal should have maybe... does it bother you that there isn't a gear there that we can play in, that we can win games but not kind of, you know...
Yeah, I suppose for three quarters of that Dublin game, we were pretty well in control. I was happy enough with the display for the most part that day. You know, a couple of refereeing decisions went against Donegal late on. You know, you had maybe a free in for Rory Cavaney. He had won a award at the other end. And it did take a last minute free by that young Mannion fellow, who I don't think missed a free all day for the Dubs, to earn the draw. And, you know, a bit of a freak result in Oma as well, all contrived to see Donegal relegated. Look, you can control what's within your own domain. You couldn't control what was happening in Oma. They almost pulled it off. Like, and it would have been a masterstroke to have played so much under the radar and so much within ourselves all season and to retain Division 1. We've been relegated, but you know, along with the rest, I don't think that's going to have an impact for this year's championship. It'll be next year. Next year, you won't be able to go through the league, or the manager won't be able to go through the league saying the league doesn't matter, because next year, Division 2 and promotion from it is a must.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that, if anything, Division 2 will be more competitive than Division 1. Like, we might have lower standard of opposition, but lower standard of opposition playing to a greater intensity, because, you know, nobody wants to go down to Division 3. And as I say, not every team in Division 2 will have the aspirations that Donegal will have maybe next year. And, you know, I've made the point as well, we'll have worse referees. If that's even believable, you know. But it's interesting there. You mentioned things outside of control. Jim can't control the referee. Jim can't control Wanda-Uma. So maybe I'm not surprised he was so angry, because I mean, Jim seems to be a man focused very much on control.
I think we have to remember too, this Donegal team, this is a group of players where there is no plan B, and when the players in the league are left to their own devices, which Jim has basically done in all those games, he sent them out to play off the cuff, reminiscent of what we've seen under John Joe Doherty. They're telling a group of players, let's remember that there. And I think, playing that certain way, they nearly were capable of staying up, and as we said, they should have beat Dublin that day. Jim McGuinness doesn't want to show any of his, I suppose, template, his championship template, between, I suppose, the first league game and the last. I mean, why would he? And I think he's comfortable enough and confident enough, and I think the group of players within themselves are confident enough to get the heads down and work on that game plan and whatever elaboration. I mean, Jim's talked about a 20% improvement. Hopefully we'll see that there on May 26th. But as I said, letting a group of players that are used to playing within the confines of this here system and sending them out to play, I suppose, or express themselves to their own, I suppose, individual devices. I mean, it's Russian roulette, and it very nearly worked. I mean, we could easily be sitting here having kept our place in Division 1 and we'd all be happy. So it's interesting. I think the lie of the land will only be clear after, you know, the final whistle in 4 or 5 weeks' time.
Yeah, of course. Like, let's not get too hung up on it, like, especially that one game. If we look at the league in general, one thing that I've been curious about is that why, if the league doesn't matter, I mean, I think I might have brought this up the last podcast as well, but, like, say, for instance, Michael Murphy played nearly every minute of every game. And so Jim is kind of saying in advance the league doesn't matter and whatever, but we're still going to run on Michael Murphy out there. Is Jim watching to see what other teams will do? Because once Michael Murphy's on the field, you have to deal with him. Like, you're not going to just say, well, Michael's not going to try tonight, so I'm gonna leave him be. Like, so, you know, and I think we talked about this last time, Alan, didn't we?
That was probably evident in Castlebar more than anything, where Michael was played in full forward, and I don't think it really worked, but I think Jim was studying to see how Mayo would cope with it. I agree with your point, though. Like, the likes of Neil Gallagher now and Paddy McGrath, guys still only come back from injury. They played a lot of them games, probably not 100%, so maybe it's a worry. But I suppose, like, a player like Neil Gallagher, a bit like Michael Murphy, they wanted to see, like, especially how Cork would handle him after last year's semi-final. So maybe there is a method in the madness here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one thing. You give Jim the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, he's not stupid. Like, you know, so there has to be some genius in the thinking somewhere. At least that's what I'm telling myself. Like, you know,
I think he looks at every player, you know, on a case by case basis too. I mean, Michael's, we talked about it before coming on air, was maybe the end of the season last year came too soon for him, because after those couple of injuries, started to get a bit of form momentum, and same as DC, he was unplayable at the start of the year. And why interrupt that there by resting or maybe taking him out of the equation? I mean, we'll see coming into the club scene now, and without being too cynical, I think the players that will play games will be the likes of Neil McGee's and the Carol Lacy's that need them, and the David Walsh, whereas the other guys with the wee twinges, you know, the Eamon McGee's and the Paddy McGraths, you mightn't see them boys turn out for their clubs as much. But maybe that's me being a wee bit too cynical, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Sure. Like, again, looking back at the Dublin game, not the game itself, but, like, who we saw that day, Eamon Doherty and Luke Keeney were two, I think it's fair to say, surprises on the day that they were actually named. And I think they acquitted themselves quite well, Damien.
I would say so as well. You know, it was a surprise to see them coming in there, and you know, they didn't look out of place at all. I suppose that's one of the things that we were looking from the National League, to see what new players would come into the squad. And I suppose there has been a wee bit of movement after the league, with a few players leaving, and of course we've seen a few players coming in now as well. So, you know, how many of those players have really put down the marker to say that they're going to be starting material come the 26th of May or during the Ulster Championship? Probably not so many have really said there, but you've got a few options now to spring from the bench. I think a few players, the likes of Ross Werdy, the likes of Ryan McHugh, the likes of Keeney that came on there in the Dublin game, Marty Riley got a bit of a run out as well. You know, you have players that, you know, last year weren't in the frame and now are, and should be able to give an option as McGuinness sets about building the squad. And, you know, there's something, we've got something out of the league that we've got, that those players getting that bit of Division 1 quality football under their belts.
I mean, I suppose, Alan, just to give a bit of context, Eamon Doherty played on the under 21 team in 2010 that was, you know, fairly unlucky to lose the All Ireland final to Dublin. And Luke Keeney has won the under 21s this year. So they haven't exactly come out of nowhere. Like, Jim would know them quite well, I would think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Eamon's, he's still a very young man. I think he's about 22 years of age, but he's won 4 senior championships in the county, so he's been mixing it with the best in Donegal for the last few years. Luke Keeney was a player too that impressed with the under-21s with Maxi's team, so I think the two lads will be glad of the experience, but I think this year's championship probably is a bit too early for them, but they'll still be there, and they definitely look like they can add something to that squad, maybe a bit further down the line though.
Yeah, because I mean, I think they played out of necessity as opposed to just experimentation. Like, we were fairly light that day just due to injury and unavailability of certain players.
Yeah, we could see that in Castlebarris was too, when Ryan Bradley had to come back off the bench. I think there was Shane McGowan was the only recognised defender on the bench that day when the couple of injuries happened, and Shane has since left the panel. So yeah, I think there was probably a necessity coming into that Dublin game, because we were missing probably three. Paddy McGrath, there was Carl Lacey and Neil McGee were all missing from the probably starting team.
That's an issue that doesn't go away though. That's an issue that will carry on in the championship. I mean, we've been very lucky over the last 2 years. I mean, that group of 15 to 16, 17, 18, 19, I mean, I would fear to think what would happen, you know, if we did lose two or three players. I think every county and the country would have that fear, bar maybe Dublin.
Yeah.
And it's a double-edged sword, because, I mean, Dublin are getting, I suppose, the kudos for being fit to, I suppose, beat a Mayo team without the likes of Bernard Brogan that there. But at the same time, have they got a settled team? Do they know what their best 15 to 18 players are? So at least Donegal, with a rub of the green, keep an injury-free, I suppose, treatment table. And at least then Donegal, that, I suppose, experience of playing together too. And I suppose there's the benefits of that cohesiveness. But going back to Dublin, I mean, they'll have that problem where, I suppose, 30 pegs can't go into 15 holes.
Yeah, very famously, the Galway Hurlers, I suppose, are the team that you would think of that have suffered from that. Like, no team in either code has had the underage success that Galway Hurlers have had over the last 15 or 20 years, like, and they haven't been able to deliver at senior level because they don't persist with the players that are coming through. There's always the great next White Hope coming through. Like, and Dublin have had such a series of success at minor levels, under 21 level, that they've an embarrassment of riches. But figuring out who they're better and who their best team is going to be a bit of a trick that Jim Gavin's going to have to figure out, because, you know, you've got players like, I think, Alan Brogan, Kieran Kilkenny, players like that haven't made it towards the end of the league. They're not going to be on show in the league final. And, you know, he's going to have a big question mark coming into the championship as well. Now, they've got an easier introduction to the championship than Donegal, obviously, but figuring out their best team is going to be quite a difficult task for them.
And remember, the funny thing is, with a GAA season as opposed to a Premiership soccer season, you know, the squad game, how relevant is this, where you have a stroke luck and you keep people injury free? I mean, soccer teams probably do need that squad over a season where you get, yeah, I suppose, numerous chances to put things right, whereas in championship you only get two bites of a cherry and then you're gone. So if you don't have that settled way of playing, maybe in that settled group, probably will work against you. Dublin probably won't be tested maybe the latter stages of the Leinster Championship, but I mean, if they don't have that traction and momentum with the same, you know, 15 day players, it might count against them, come back to haunt them.
Yeah, I think the way it looks with us now, if everyone was fit and we were playing Tyrone this weekend, I think we'd probably go with the 15 lads that started the All-Ireland final. I don't really think anybody else would comment that. So I suppose we were saying just there beforehand, from the 15 lads that played in the final last year, maybe 10 of them have picked up some sort of knocks this year. So that is kind of a worry for me. And there's a couple of lads coming back from long-term injuries. A lot of the time when you see guys coming back from a long-term injury, they pick up little minor injuries, just like a hamstring twinge or little things like that. And I think that's a thing that Jim actually alluded to after the Dublin game, and it's something that he would be slightly worried about.
I think the fear, Alan, too. I mean, two of those players are Carl Lacey and Neil McGee, and you really can't afford, I suppose, to be holding anything back in terms of, you know, opening the legs, whereas hamstrings, quads, that there. And that would be the worry for me, that those two players, I mean, Michael came back into the equation last year, but even as a presence and floating about and playing as, I suppose, wherever he wanted to, between, I suppose, the opposition goals and their own midfield, Michael's still capable of offering you something very important. Whereas if you want, I suppose, Neil McGee running after Stephen O'Neill or even Carl Lacey at centre-half-back, you need those boys at 100%, or else, I suppose, the pack of cards fails and falls down.
Yeah, Damien, I mean, Carl Lacey is key. I mean, this is one thing that's worried me from the word go when he had the operation, was that, you know, they were saying they weren't going to rush him back for the league, and I wasn't thinking about winning the league or staying up. I was thinking about getting competitive game time. The opportunity now has almost passed for that. We have the All-County League. We have to hope we're going to see him for four Masters in the next few weeks.
That's it. It's completely narrowed out now. So he will need some level of game time to get him up to the required match sharpness for the game against Tyrone. whether he gets that now with four Masters at this stage, like, you know, I think they're going to have a trip away. The Donegal team are going to go off to training camp and so on. There will be conditioned games that he's playing in that, you know, that will take him some distance away, I suppose. The thing about Lacey is, you know, he's such a complete player. He's the footballer of the year from last year. Like, you know, if anyone can do it, maybe he can. Like, you know, and he did have some form when he did this in the past, coming back after a season or a winter in Australia. So, you know, it's fingers crossed. And look, we have been very fortunate in the last couple of years. Although there has, in terms of the injuries, there have been injuries this spring. Whether those injuries would be all serious enough to keep players out come championship, whereas Stuart I would remain to see. I think there's a lot of precaution being taken here. You know, if a player is feeling a little twinge or is getting cramps or whatever, like, they're taken off. Like, but, you know, I think the medical team that Donegal have had have done a great job with the squad over the last 2 years, and, you know, fingers crossed they can do the same again and keep the players in shape for the season ahead.
Yeah, Alan, I mean, in terms of serious injuries during the league, Neil McGee was probably the most serious it looked at the time when he went down in Castlebar. Like, you kind of felt the worst, but he's I think he turned out for his club last weekend.
He did, yeah. He played against Mallon, the All County League. Mallon actually won during Guido there. I think Neil was a little bit rusty, which is probably understandable after a layoff like that, but it was good to see him back. Although Eamon did miss out, I think he had a slight hamstring bother, but I think this is the time really where Donegal get down. It's really closed doors now, the 4 weeks. From what we're hearing, there's a lot of hard work going on. Spoke to Jim a couple of weeks ago. He was very calm about the whole thing, about David Walsh, Paddy McGrath, Neil Gallagher, Neil McGee, Carey Lacey. He expected them all to come back within a week or two. So this week probably coming up now, you should have near enough a full panel training together, and that'll give them 4 straight weeks. So hopefully the in-house competitive games will be get the likes of Carey Lacey up to speed as well, because I think Carey is so important, just the way Donegal play, and even if they get one or two club games under their belts, would be a great boost as well.
Yeah. I mean, as Damien said, I think Carey has precedence before. I mean, he's stayed free of injury, I think, pretty much throughout his career. He is the footballer of the year. He has been one of the outstanding footballers in Ireland over the past 10 years. He's very experienced. So really, you know, it's a concern that we won't see him, but I've no doubt that on 26th of May he will be flying fit and ready to go.
Even if it's not a centre half back, like, you know, I mean, he would have started out and played a lot of football cornerback in the first instance. You have, I suppose, we've taken a look at the likes of Eamon McGee at centre half back, Leo McLoone at centre half back. So we mightn't just be asking Carey Lacey to fill that crucial centre half back role early on in the season. We might be able to use him in the corner or in the wing or something.
Well, like, interestingly, I mean, I would say Carey Lacey is still our best man marking defender, our best pure defender. Like, but we use him for so much more than that, you know. And I mean, if we look at what Stephen O'Neill did against Kildare, you know, 2 weeks ago in Croke Park, then, you know, that could fit very nicely with what we might need him for on the 26th of May. So, you know, that's a good point. And I think we have plenty of it. I mean, Anthony Thompson has been a dynamo this year for Donegal throughout the league. I mean, his a lot of charge and runs and so on. So, you know, I think it'd be great to see Carl on the pitch. But, yeah, if he can slot in a corner back, then so be it as well.
Just easing back into it, I think. That's what
I think the way football's kind of evolved as well. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, you'd be worried about being beat out in front by a man, but Donegal, such a close shop, you know, from midfield back. Maybe there are those pockets to operate in where you can sweep back and you'd still benefit from Carroll's football and brain and things like that. And you wouldn't maybe be asking them to, as just an orthodox defender, you know, shepherd somebody, which I don't, the way football's gone, and I don't think, you know, the scope is there for players anymore to have that, the way Stephen O'Neill maybe operated 5 or 6 years ago. I know he got that space last week in Croke Park, but I don't think he'll get it against Dublin this weekend, and it'll not be there in Balbuffet either on May 26.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Tyrone-Kildare game, and Tyrone were comfortably in charge on the scoreboard for most of the game. But like the under 21 semi-final last weekend, Kildare's shooting was absolutely shocking. I didn't see anything from Tyrone that would particularly concern me on that day. Sean Kavanagh especially was more or less anonymous, save for one very good block at the end of the game, which came at a key time. And okay, you know, that's what the type of player Sean Kavanagh is, that he can contribute that way. But I mean, you know, we have to remember as well that we're not going to necessarily see Tyrone's full hand at this stage either. Like, but you know, so far nothing I saw that day would particularly concern me ahead of the 26th of May, and I'll be going along on Sunday as well to see Tyrone Dublin. That should be a very interesting game, because Dublin were impressed the last time. Mannion looks like the real deal, I have to say, as a forward. I mean, Dublin were able to win that game against Mayo without Bernard Brogan been at the top of his game. But enough about the opposition. Let's talk briefly about the underage game. We'll go first to the under-21s. I mean, it's a while back now, but we lost out to Cavan in the Ulster final. I think we were all there. It was a disappointing enough game for much of the game. We came back late. Losing the two McHughes didn't help, Alan.
Didn't help at all, Kieran, but I think Cavan were always in control of that game, even though I think we came back to 2 points down and Darryl Connor fisted the ball wide, but I still think Cavan could have scored at will. They had more threats throughout the field, and I think they were worthy champions. We were quite reliant on Patrick McBrady, kicked 5 points for us. Really, I think the under 21 championship, with Maxi in charge, you're going to have a really well prepared team. Maybe we caught Tyrone in the hop a little bit. The Derry game was a 50-50 sort of game, but I suppose Cavan have shown by winning three in a row in Ulster that they are the team to beat, even though they've since lost to Cork. But all in all, it was quite a good under 21 championship for Donegal, because they weren't given much chance going into the Tyrone game. I think they're 4-1 on some of the bookies, so that proves how much an outsider they were for that quarter final.
Yeah, I mean, and they finished the game well. I mean, at half time it kind of looked like we were going to be embarrassed almost, and you know, credit to them, they came back and they fought back strong. I mean, I agree with Alan. I think Cavan were the better team and had to be applauded on the night as worthy champions. Frank, I suppose I was a wee bit disappointed. Some of the senior players, Marty O'Reilly and Owen McNeillis, had poor enough games that night. But Luke Kinney played well. Paddy showed he can lead the full forward line.
I think, yeah, I think Cavan's game plan was that tight. And I think the disappointment for me maybe was in the first half, when I think Paddy McBurney might not touch the ball till late, you know, between the 30th and 35th minute. And maybe we'd take him out around the middle, maybe at the quarter hour mark, just to maybe, you know, force the issue. It might have changed things. But in fairness to Maxi and Francie, I mean, Cavan were by far the better team. And the plus would be that I think 8 or 9 of that same team are underage next year, including Paddy McBurney. So, I mean, credit to Maxi, as Alan says, he's a very organised guy. And I suppose it would have given that group of players a confidence booster. And when we have that core group of players in the same age group next year, maybe we might give things a wee rattle as well. So I'd be, you know, I wouldn't be too disappointed, because it's a team that we didn't expect much of at the start of the year, to be honest.
Yeah. And I know it's going to be, this will broadcast after the fact, but Damien, our Miners take on Monaghan tomorrow in the Ulster Minor League final. A team that started off the year with two losses has bounced back pretty well.
Yeah, they're back at Brewster Park for this final against Monaghan. They lost actually against Fermanagh on the first night of that league in Brewster Park. They led by 7 points at half time and contrived to throw it away in the second half. They lost to Tyrone as well. Their championship opponents, and that the scoreline was a bit harsh on them that day. I think Tyrone got a couple of late scores at the end of both halves. They put up kind of a flattering scoreline against them. They beat a half a Derry team with Mahara away, and the Mahara lads away on Hogan Cup duty, and they had a win over a pretty poor Antrim team. So that was the four games they played in the regular league: two wins, two draws, or two defeats. And then they beat a very good Down team that had topped the other section in Downpatrick. And, you know, they seem to be, you know, that will give them a huge boost. And the game against Monaghan is important too, because, you know, unlike at senior level, like, the league is important to these players as well. And every game that they're going to get together is going to help improve them ahead of the Tyrone game. And, you know, Stephen Friel has, they're in the second year there now. I think last year they would have been mixing and matching a wee bit. They'd have been trying out different formations, different players. A lot of players within the squad were given a chance to play. This year they seem to have a bit of a more settled approach and a more settled team being chosen there. So, you know, you've got the likes of Colin Kelly and Kane Mulligan that are performing very, very well in defence. Peter McLaughlin is a big man, a big presence around midfield. And, you know, Darryl Connor has had some very good games and some not so good games in the full forward line as well there for them. Like, and he's been nominated the team captain. But I think the game against Down now tomorrow will the game against Monaghan tomorrow, like, will give them a good shot, and just it'll help give them that wee boost. If they were to win that, you know, it would give them a real boost ahead of going to play Tyrone in the championship. I think when last Donegal won the Ulster Minor League, or was back in 2006, they won it that year, and they went on to win the Ulster Championship that year as well, a team featuring the likes of Michael Murphy and Leo McLoone, Declan Walsh and a few others.
That's right, Martin McElhenney and Ross Worthy as well.
Yeah, so it is. Look, it does augur well, I suppose, just to go back to the under-21. The one thing, you know, no one expected much of that team, because at minor level, Donegal have been absolutely nowhere for the last number of years. Since that win in 2006, I think we have had, we won last year against Cavan in the Championship. That might have been our only win in the Championship, maybe one other win in that period of time. So I suppose what Maxi has shown is that if you put together a team, and they, you know, they prepared them very, very well, they were working from October, November time last year, that you can actually make up for the shortcomings that we would have had as minor teams together. Like, so that's quite encouraging. And, you know, this year's minor team, we'll see how they go. Tyrone have a big reputation, you know, for the championship, but, you know, every minor team's different. Like, and just because Tyrone were the All-Ireland minor champions 3 years ago, like, doesn't mean or doesn't follow this year's team's going to be a superstar team either.
Sure. I mean, I guess the team to watch in Ulster will be Derry with the Mahara contingent. They were very impressive in winning the All-Ireland against St. Pat's. Any chance we see young Jigger talking out for the seniors on the 26th of May, a la Paddy McBrearty, three years ago?
I think Paddy McBrearty was obviously physically well developed and a fully grown man at the age of 18. Dara Connor's quite small, like, you know, and I wouldn't think he'd be fit for the cut and thrust of senior intercounty championship at the moment, like, you know. But yeah, if he gets the right supply of ball, he's very, very, very quick. He's low to the ground. He's very determined. You know, if he gets the right supply of ball, he can do serious damage. I think he got 1-2 or 1-3 maybe against Down last weekend. Like, you know, when he was a key man.
He throws a mean dummy.
Yeah. The thing about the Antrim game, Damien, we were speaking about it earlier, the first half, Stephen Freely even admitted himself, was horrific. I think Donegal trailed 1-2 to a point. Darrow was kind of stuck up front that day in his own, it wasn't working. But Stephen noticed it, changed it about, brought in John Campbell from Buncrana and Callum Gallagher from Newbridge, Matt's son. And they give a real physical presence to the full forward line, and even though Darragh didn't have a better game, he could work off guys like this. So as bad as it was, I suppose, in the first half, at least they could see that what was going wrong and they'd done something about it. So in that scenario, it was pretty impressive to get out of that group.
Yeah, there seems to be no shortage of helpers anyway. I remember being in Ballybuffet and Matt Gallagher himself was one of the most vocal people in the stand, and it was so quiet that I'm sure everyone on the pitch could hear him. And you know, we have Stephen McBrearty, Paddy's younger brother, is injured at the moment, but he could come back into that team yet.
By all accounts, I don't think Stephen Wall. I think he still has to have a little bit of surgery and a bit of cartilage removed. But just watching the divisional final last night, done load a couple of impressive players, particularly two Scallies. I think Jack and Owen, they look like the real deal, because the two lads that are marking, you know, from the Ardra club are two senior players, and, you know, they had those guys in their pockets. So I was particularly impressed. Those guys, having not seen them before, you know.
Yeah. Just very briefly, All County League is in full swing. We had a double header round of games last weekend. St. Eunan's looking pretty impressive again this year, I think.
They look impressive enough, but I think the two teams that impressed me the most have been Mallon and St. Michael's. St. Michael's have a bit of local knowledge. It's been very windy down there the last couple of games. They beat St. Junin's really well. It was that windy. A player had to lie on the ground and hold two penalties that St. Junin's missed that day. But they're a good league side, St. Michael's, and they're a decent championship side as well. And I suppose if they get Christy Toy back, and Colin McFadden only started his first game the last day, which was St. Michael's fourth game. So they're a good, solid team. And then a team came up then, Mallon. A lot of people might have thought Mallon would have went straight back down. But they've won 3 out of 4. They've beaten Niamh Connell. They've beaten
Guidor,
and they've beaten Ardra. So and Declan Wallace is flying, by all accounts, Damien.
Yeah, that's it. I was at the game between Mallon and St. Eunan's last Friday week, and yeah, look, St. Eunan's won the game out. Probably I think they had 5 at the end, flattered them a wee bit, like. But yeah, Declan Wallace is pretty good. They had Charlie Byrne as well, of course, who's played for the county team in a couple of years past. But one player that actually really impressed me was Conal Dunn from St. Eunan's. He was absolutely outstanding. He got St. Eunan's first goal. He was instrumental to set up the second goal, and he was just buzzing around. Like, he looks to be in very good form. I think he scored quite heavily as well.
Yeah, he scored 1-5 from play against Four Masters. I think St. Eunan's scored 4-11. All of it was from play against a pretty weakened Four Masters side, it has to be said, though.
It's interesting when we talk about strength and depth of the Donegal side, that a guy of Collins' experience couldn't be some help to that there panel. But maybe there's other circumstances, I don't know.
Speaking of club matters, any date mooted for a championship game?
June Bank Holiday weekend will be the first. There'll be two groups playing June Bank Holiday weekend. They don't know which ones, because it depends on the County Gaelic in May Bank Holiday weekend. But we know that the Terman and Guidor group cannot play on June Bank Holiday, because they both have to go to Waterford as reigning All-Ireland Gaelic champions.
Right, okay. I think we have enough done for tonight. We've drawn a line under the 2013 National Football League. I promise not to bring it up again. And the next time we speak, we will be talking about 26th of May, something Jim McGuinness has been talking about since before he got the Donegal job, I think. we'll see you then. Looking forward to it when we can finally focus on a game that is really going to matter and that the result will be important to Jim. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Football Special.